I hope you had a great, great Thanksgiving the past week, and we kind of kick off the holiday season of 2024. And, you know, speaking of holiday season, I feel like, you know, more than ever before, I've heard, you know, I feel like there's this debate, you know, of when the Christmas season actually starts. And so I want to go ahead and separate the sheep from the wolves here for just a minute. Are y'all with me? How many of you, number one, you think you should wait until after Thanksgiving to celebrate Christmas? All right, raise your hand. Okay, there we go. How many of you think it's fair game? It's immediately after the Halloween. All right, there you go. All right, well, the correct answer is A, wait until after Thanksgiving. Now, if you're one that starts right after Halloween, what a slap in the face of Thanksgiving. I mean, just an afterthought of a holiday jam in the middle of the holidays. No, what a pity. So, but hey, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And if you're a guest with us, you know, thank you for being here at Lake Point. And this morning, as you came in, you should receive a handout, a program. And inside that program, there's a couple of things. There's a handout note for the message this morning. There's also a connection card. We just want you to take a minute, fill that card out, and let us know about your visit with us today. And then at the end of the service, you can drop it in one of our offering boxes throughout the building, or you can give it to me, and I have a free gift that I'd like to give you. Love to meet you after the service. And today we're going to be doing a couple of things. We got the message, and then at the end of the message, we're having our time of communion and a time of remembrance of who God is and what he's done for us through his son Jesus on the cross. And if you haven't got the communion element, you know, maybe you got one as you came in, maybe you kind of walked past one of our auditorium host team and you didn't get one, but I want to make sure you get one right now. So just raise your hand. If you did not get a communion cup, a communion element, just raise your hand real quick and our team is ready for you. And I see, there's just one over there. All right, just one, just one. Kyle, good job, man. Good job, auditorium hosting. There we go. All right. Well, we're glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part of our service. If you're watching online, and I'm glad that you're able to watch us wherever you might be this morning. And as I think about Thanksgiving, I've been thinking a lot about the idea of Thanksgiving, not so much that Thanksgiving as a holiday, but more of this idea of Thanksgiving. Or living with thanks and giving thanks, living a grateful life. And I've been constantly thinking about it because we live in a culture, right, that's just constantly flooded with outrage, anger, negativity, you know, criticism everywhere. I mean, we're always upset, we're always offended, upset about something. And so we see all this frustration. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm just kind of getting over it sometimes. Like, man, I got to just turn off the news. I just got to shut it off. You know, and I'm sure many of you in here, you get tired of hearing all the negativity. It's just amazing to me how everywhere, all the time, people want to be critical. People want to pick things apart. They want to find what's wrong instead of seeing what's right. Complaining, I have found that complaining is almost an art form. You know, some people, I would argue, almost have the spiritual gift to complain. Many of us are professional grumblers. We can find anything to complain about. You go to a fast food restaurant, you walk up and someone serves you, takes your money, they cook your food, they bring it out to you, and if it takes over 3.5 minutes, you're livid. You're like, man, I paid you to bring me hamburgers and fries, and it took you over 3.5 minutes, and you're mad. We complain about all sorts of things. We can open up a refrigerator full of food, full of leftovers. Can I hear amen on the leftovers? Amen. There we go. I love leftovers. I said, we can open up our refrigerator full of food and we'll complain because there's nothing to eat. Or we'll turn on the television with 112 channels. We'll flip through 112 channels and say, there's nothing to watch. Or we go into our closet. We touch all of our clothes. And we'll walk out and we'll say, I've got nothing to wear. It's amazing how blessed we can be, and yet at the same time, we can show how ungrateful we are. Some experts say that gratitude, or many experts say gratitude is the value to unlock so many other positive values. In other words, gratitude makes you generous. Gratitude makes you encouraging. Gratitude makes you positive. Gratitude makes you thankful. And the tragedy is, for many people, they never experience the true heart of gratitude. Now, when I think about the people I love to be around, I love to be around people that are people of joy, people that are grateful, people that don't complain, people that have figured out the secret to living this life that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And that's what we're going to kind of hang out with today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. On the back of your connection card, one of the challenges for you today is to commit to this verse, commit to memory this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Where we say, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the main idea. This is what I want you to take away from today, this morning, in regard to this verse and this idea of thanksgiving. If you're taking notes, thanksgiving is a command for all contacts that is part of our calling. And we're going to unpack that sentence today, which is all connected to the first, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Thanksgiving is a command for all contacts that is part of our calling. Let's look at point number one this morning. We see a command. And that command is simply this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the first two words, give thanks. This is not an idea. This is not a suggestion. In the original Greek language, this is actually an imperative, a verb form. It's a command. We are to give thanks. You see, God knows something about you. He knows something about me. And that all of us, we have the tendency, the bent, so to speak, we have the bent to be ungrateful. We have the bent to complain. You know, to be negative. And so God commands us here in verse 18 to give thanks. By the way, God's not subtle about this either. Throughout the scripture, 150 times we see the word thanks in scripture. 38 of those times, it's actually the word give thanks. And so we see this throughout the scripture. The Greek word in the New Testament for thanks, it's one word, it's this word eucharistio. Eucharistio, for some of you, that sounds very familiar to you. That's the word, if you grew up in church, in a church, you might heard this word. It's the word Eucharist. It's also known as the word communion or Lord's Supper. In fact, Eucharistio is the word that Jesus used when he was administering the Lord's Supper, that final last supper with the disciples, and he broke the bread, and what did he do? He gave thanks. Eucharistio. When we take the Lord's Supper here in a little bit, we're literally giving thanks in remembrance of what Jesus had done for us. So that's the Greek word, eucharistio. Now in the Old Testament, what's really cool is that this idea of thanks There's seven different Hebrew words, at least, that we know of, seven different words in the Old Testament that really kind of throw some color to this idea of thanks and praise. And it's fascinating to me. You see these words on your handout notes, you see this word here on the screen, you see the word toda. And toda is a Hebrew word that means a thanksgiving choir. Barak, to kneel in thanksgiving. The word tehillah, not tequila. Big difference, okay? Tehillah, to sing a song of thanksgiving. Got the word hallah, where we get the word hallelujah. It's to give thanks by boasting and praising God. It's giving God mad prop. That's what hallelujah means. Hallelujah, hallah. The word yada, not yada, yada, yada. All right, some of you know that from a Seinfeld reference, right? Yada. But this word yada means to give thanks with expressive gratitude. Expressive gratitude. You know, communication is 80% body language. And so we're not just thanking, hey, thank you, God. You know, there's just more of this expressiveness. You know, it might be raising your hand. It might be, you know, some of you might express God by giving thanks by, you know, you let the dance a little bit. You know, some might get on your knees. You know, some of you might like to clap. You know, and everyone's different. But yada, to give thanks with expressive gratitude. Zamar, to give thanks with a musical instrument. Shabak, to give thanks in a loud tone. You know, you shout to the Lord. You know, it's not just praise where it's like a little, you know, where you praise God at a golf course with a little golf clap. No, there's just a real shouting, real praising that's happening when you worship and when you're giving thanks and praise to God. And it's awesome because oftentimes when we look at the Old Testament, we see that word praise and thanks, which it goes in one ear and out the other, but seven different words that describe our praise. In fact, we see four of these words found in one single psalm. You see Psalm 100 verse 4 on the screen. It says, enter his gate with toda, right? That's thanksgiving, right? Enter his gate with toda, with thanksgiving, and his court with tehillah, right? His court with praise. Give thanks, give yada to him, and Barak, praise his name. And thanksgiving is supposed to be so central to who we are as followers of Christ. It causes us to sing his praise, to shout his praise, to lift up our voice in praise, to kneel in praise. Gratitude is what caused worship to come out of us. In other words, you'll never be a worshiper if you're not grateful. You can't worship God if you're not grateful for him. And so our thanksgiving is going to flow from inside of us, inside our hearts, and it begins to affect our actions. And so this type of thanksgiving is repeated and it's expected and commanded over and over in the Bible. Look at Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High. You see, when we talk about this idea of giving thanks, it's intimately linked, it's connected with who God is. You see, we give thanks to the Lord. We sing praises for his great name. In fact, the more we learn about him, the more we should praise and glorify him. And this is where the Christian thanksgiving is different than the world's thanksgiving. There's a big difference. The world's thanksgiving is once a year. They get together on a Thursday, in November, just like we did it past week. And they thank God, they'll be thankful. They don't really thank God. They just be thankful for the positive things of life. They're thankful for they're looking for the silver linings. And what's different for Christians is that we're not just looking for the positive in our situations. We're being thankful because we know who walked with us in all of our situations. Many times, we talk about having an attitude of gratitude. But Thanksgiving is far less about an attitude and far more about action. You see, Thanksgiving is one thing. Thanksgiving is a whole nother deal. And having an attitude of gratitude is great, but it's only meaningful if it's followed up with habits of gratitude. Tim Keller, he put it this way. It's one thing to be grateful. It's another to give thanks. See, gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, it's what you do. It's what you do. I love what Psalm 107, verse 2. You know, he talks about developing a thankful heart. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It's a command. It doesn't say think so. It said to say so. We're to say it. And we always have reason to give thanks. If you're a follower of Christ, you have reason to give thanks. You have reason to give thanks to God because he's always good. I love how Pastor Charlie Dates, he's a pastor in Chicago. I love this pastor. He says this: "May we never be a people who come to church and sit on our hands indifferent to who God is." He said, "May we never come to church and look at the worship team and think, they'd be glad I showed up today. May we never come to church out of obligation, thinking we're worthy of being in God's presence." Charlie Day said this: "Instead, may we cross the threshold of the sanctuary with a desire to worship long before any blessings have fallen onto our lap. May we worship God and give him thanks simply and solely because of who he is." And so Thanksgiving, right? It's a command. We're to give thanks. Now here's the second thought. It's our contact. The contact. The contact is found in verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Now, if you're taking notes, it's important for you to understand this. Notice here in verse 18 that it does not say that it says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Big difference. That little preposition word right there, big difference. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. And this is one of those lessons that can best be communicated by older saints. Because they've been around long enough to know that the Christian life is not one permanent mountaintop. They know that there's the ups and downs. And you walk with God long enough, you're going to go through some things that on one hand, you will never wish upon anybody else. But on the other hand, you're incredibly grateful because you got to know God on a deeper level. On a level that you never thought you could imagine understanding him more. You learn to be thankful in the hard times, even though you're not thankful for the hard times. See, God is not commanding you to be thankful for the job you just got laid off from. God is not commanding you to be thankful for the empty seat at your Thanksgiving table because of a loved one you just lost. God is not commanding you to be thankful for the betrayal that just happened. We're not commanded to be thankful for our circumstances, but we are called to be thankful in all circumstances. In other words, we are to give thanks in the midst of everything, not for everything. Now, some of you are here this morning and says, God, I hear you, but you just don't know my situation. No person in their right mind would give thanks if they were in my shoes. And if that's you, listen, you're right. And what I don't want you to hear right now is some just change of perspective and just praise God's name type message. That's not what I'm hoping you to hear today. See, whatever you're going through, I may not know your specific pain. I might know some of it. But I'm sure some of your other brothers and sisters in Christ do. And I want to remind you that you're standing shoulder to shoulder with other believers who have walked through loss, who've walked through financial hardship, who've walked through depression. And even more important than that, I want you to know this, that Jesus himself, he knows what it's like to hurt. He knows. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. Jesus knows what it's like to be, you know, to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be slandered, to be lied to be hungry, to be without. He knows what it's like to be abused and beat on. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one and weep. You see, we do not serve a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And while you may hope and pray he takes you out of your situation, what you can know for sure is that he is with you in that situation. He is with you. And that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He sympathizes. And it's because of that knowledge that you can still give thanks because his presence is with you, even in the presence of thy enemies and your circumstances. So whatever context you find yourself in, you can still give thanks because the goodness of God is there. Someone once said this, it's the peace and joy of fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of my circumstances. Because our circumstances doesn't always bring us the joy and the peace and the love, right? But peace and joy through it is because of the Holy Spirit in us. So we are commanded, right, to give thanks in all contexts. And that's because it's crucial to number three, our calling. Our calling. What is our calling? What's the second half of this verse? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know that many of us, we want to know what God's will is for our life, don't we? We want to know, what is God's will for me? What does that mean in the phrase, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? Now, first, this applies not just to our verse here in 18, but we actually have to back up a couple of verses. And we see in verse 16, it says that God's will is for us to, number one, rejoice always, pray continually, and in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. So it's God's will that we should rejoice, pray, and give thanks always. It's God's will for you. It's God's will for me. That is our calling. We are to pray. We are to rejoice. We are to give thanks always. And then there's a second thing I want you to see. Who does this verse apply to? It says in verse 18, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, God's will for you. And Paul is writing this letter to the believers in Thessalonica. The Christian and the believers in Thessalonica. So when Paul says, for you, he's talking to the Christians. He's talking to followers of Christ. So this is a letter for us as well. This is a letter for, he's calling us a Christian. This is God's will for you. Being thankful always is not God's will for the world, for the world can't understand joy and gratitude because they don't know the source of joy and gratitude. They don't know Jesus. They don't know about salvation. Being thankful always is God's will for the followers of Christ. Now, if you're like, well, Scott, this is going to be hard for me. And Scott, I'm not naturally a happy-go-lucky, super optimistic person. I always see everything, you know, with the glasses, with the half empty. You know, I have such a sad outlook of life. This is just not natural for me. How in the world am I supposed to do this? How in the world can I do this? It's just not for me. And the good news, that it's not just God's will for you to will it, but it's also God's will to work it in you. You look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul said this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." In other words, he wills it and he works it. That's good news for all of us. That's not dependent on ourselves to make it happen. That God is a partner in this. That God is working in us, and he wants to work this out through us, this idea of grateful living. And if you are in Christ, by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, then what's going to characterize your life is gratitude and thanksgiving. It could be normal and natural. That's just like breathing it to you because the Spirit of God is willing and working inside of you, and the result of that work is thanksgiving. A pastor in Cleveland, Alistair Begg, he said this, "The call of the Christian life is to become what you already are in Christ." I love that. It's to become what you already are in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. "So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord," right, there's the beginning point, right, there's the salvation point. So when you receive him, look what follows. "Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." See, gratitude and thankfulness are simply living out what we've already become in Christ. So let me state the obvious, a couple things here. Maybe for some of you, the reason that you're not thankful all the time, or never thankful, you're always negative, and perhaps you're a Christian, but you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. You don't spend time in God's Word throughout the week. You don't read, you don't pray, you don't seek God. You look for your spiritual fix on Sunday morning. And you say, okay, this is it for the week, and I'm hoping to ride this out until I come back to church next Sunday. And you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. And when you're walking in the flesh, it's hard for you to let the Holy Spirit work this thing out in you. And to be a person of gratitude. Let me take the other obvious. If perhaps here this morning, the reason you're not thankful is because you don't have the Spirit of God in you at all, period. In other words, you've been playing the religion game. But you've never actually personally received Christ as your Savior. Perhaps your ingratitude is not... Your ingratitude is a result of not actually being in Christ Jesus. Perhaps that's you this morning. You're trying to walk out a command and live out a calling that's impossible for you because there's no Holy Spirit living inside of you. You're trying to live the Christian life by your own power instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. You're being called to do something that you don't have the power to do. Like trying to drive a car without an engine. It's not going anywhere. You're stalled. You're stuck. And without this Holy Spirit inside of you, you're just going to hear this sermon as a religious burden and another call to do something that you're not equipped to carry, because you can't do this on your own. But I'm here to tell you this, that God sent his son Jesus to will and to work in your life, and if you repent of your sin and acknowledge God for who he is and what he's done for you on the cross, he will save you from your sin, and then he begins to help you to live out, to will and to work the Christian life that you're called to live. You see, for those of us in Christ, in the next few minutes, we're going to have our time of communion. But we give thanks. But we remember. Not just what he's done for us, but we remember who he is in our lives. And perhaps in the next few minutes, you'll contemplate. I want you to thank God for the things that you have. We've been given eternal life, eternal gift in Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for our salvation. We should be thankful that sin and death have been defeated in our lives. We should be thankful for the power of prayer and that we have the ear of the Almighty God in our lives. We should be thankful that God's mercies are new every single morning. We should be thankful that God never changes, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that he can be trusted. We should be thankful that God is always with us in every circumstances, in the highs and the lows of life. He is with us. We should be thankful that God did not condemn us when we first sinned, but instead, he sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that if we receive him, we will live forever with God. All these things we should be thankful for. God never stops being good. So may we never stop being thankful. May we always be thankful. Therefore, we praise him, we worship him, we give thanks to him. We should respond like the early church father, St. Augustine, he said this, a Christian should be an hallelujah from the head all the way down to the foot. So we give thanks. We're commanded to. In all circumstances, not for all circumstances, in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you and for me, for those who are in Christ. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song. Pastor Tom, can you come up here and sing? And then we're going to take time to remember, to thank God for that precious blood that was shed for the remission of sin. And through his sacrifice, we have eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you give us the power and the strength to be thankful people. Not just one day a year on a holiday, but be thankful every day. Not just Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving. It's all connected to you. We're thankful people not because of what we did. We're thankful people not because of what we've done. We're thankful people because of who you are. We're thankful because what you did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And so God, help us, no matter what circumstances we are, whether we're in the mountaintop or we're down in the deepest valley of life, wherever we find ourselves in this morning, we cry out, thank you. And we live out thanksgiving in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.